You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Megan Adelini here with you until 1 p.m. with John Lyons. He's in for Chris Scheim, who's off today. And we turn our attention to the Patriots. Training camp is so close, which means my summer is almost over.
Yeah, we've got 11 days, Mego.
Oh, my
gosh.
First
practice, July 23rd.
It's giving me a little bit of back-to-school energy, which I never liked as a kid. Like everybody, you know, you would get to a point in late July, usually where I grew up, where you start seeing the back to school commercials on TV and it just makes you kind of queasy. It's like, get to Target for all your binders and rah, 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 and you're just like, oh no, I just got home from camp. I don't want to see school on my TV. Get this off here, Nickelodeon.
Yeah. Felt like you just got out of school in mid-June and next thing you know, it's August and you're like, oh, time to go back. That's where the Patriots are at, 11 days away.
And I feel a little differently about it now as an adult. I love fall. It's my favorite season.
I'm same,
very basic that way. But New England, you just can't beat New England in fall. It's so beautiful. And I love football. And I love talking football and covering football. At the same time, I feel like I just walked out of mini camp. And it just has gone by very quickly. And it's been a really eventful offseason for the Patriots, obviously starting with firing Gerard Mayo just an hour after that final game against the Bills. Then you hire Mike Vrabel. You go through free agency. You go through the draft. You go through OTAs and mini camp. And now we're coming up on training camp. And ESPN has an analyst, Seth Wilder.
I think it's Wilder.
Who graded all 32 teams' off seasons. And he gave the Patriots a C+. I thought that was a little tough. For example, the lowest grade that he gave of these 32 teams was the Saints. He gave them a D. So the Patriots are only a little bit better than that.
So no one failed, though.
No one failed.
Good for Wilder.
Yeah, I don't know what you'd have to do to fail. You'd probably have to be like a
Patriots
Dan,
last year,
you'd
maybe?
Have to be a Dan Snyder franchise.
Yeah.
You had to,
which you're very familiar with.
Yeah, so I don't know what you'd have to do to get an F, but the Saints got a D. The Patriots got a C+. For example, the Rams got an A. They got the best grade. Do you feel like the Patriots deserved just a C+ for their offseason moves?
I'd give them a B. And I think a lot of it comes down to, and whether you're Wilder, whether you're someone else, how do you actually feel about Will Campbell? To me, this is where it hinges, because I think Vrabel is a great addition. I'm a huge Josh McDaniels supporter, too. I think that's good. I think Carlton Davis, Milton Williams, Spillane, those are good. But there's some questions there about Will Campbell. Now, I personally think Will Campbell is going to be good. It's more about his feet and his hands than his arm length. But if you're one of those people that thinks Will Campbell's going to be a guard or you're not sure about him as tackle, to me, that really affects the grade. Because if he's a good left tackle, we're having a different conversation about this offense than if he's a good guard or an average left tackle.
Have you seen Will Campbell in person yet?
Not in person, right up close, no.
He is small. Like, I think that it becomes much more obvious when you see him even next to the rest of the offensive line. He's a smaller guy. He's a smaller guy than you'd expect to see at tackle. And I'm not just talking about somebody like Trent Brown. Like, he definitely looks like he needs to put even just some strength on in his shoulders. It's not just about the arm length.
Because he's 6'6", but he's only 320.
It's just an unusual body type for a tackle. So I am still obviously very much on the fence about how long he's going to play in that position. If he's a great guard, then he's a great guard, and you're stuck in a position where you need to fill an actual premium there again. And we'll address the offensive line a little bit later in the show because they got some tough grades of their own. But Walder here cited Mike Vrabel, the Vrabel hiring, as the best move of the Patriots offseason. What he didn't like that he noted was the Milton Williams signing, which was the 4-year, $104 million contract, which was the big blockbuster of free agency. And while he might not like that from a football perspective, like he might think that that's a total overpay and the Patriots just had to get in there at the last minute and weasel Milton Williams into their building, I like what it represents, that they got in there and spent big on Milton Williams and were aggressive in free agency, because that's something that we didn't see from them at all last year when Jerod Mayo was the head coach.
And we're talking about a guy in Milton Williams. Yeah, is it probably an overpay for a guy that played less than 50% of the snaps last year? Sure. But we are talking about the best pass rushing defensive tackle in the NFL. Like, that's still a valuable guy to have. So I can understand if you look at the contract and you say, hey, $104 million, biggest contract in team history for a guy that played less than 50% of the snaps around Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter and Josh Sweat. I understand the financial part of it, but just looking at the football player, you put him next to Christian Barmore, that's going to be a great pass rushing tandem up the middle. Does he have to get a little bit better against the run? Sure, but he doesn't suck against the run. He's just got to get a little bit better. So I think that's a little harsh on the Milton Williams signing there. And I agree with him. I think Vrabel is the most important addition, signing, whatever you want to call it, they made this. I mean, it's the third head coach in 3 years. And hopefully this brings some stability. It's a guy that's been to an AFC championship game, shown that he's a good coach with Ryan freaking Tannehill as his quarterback. So I agree with that. I think maybe it's a little harsh on Williams because, again, I understand the snap part and the financial part, but we're still talking about the best pass rushing defensive tackle in the league.
How good of a coach do you think Vrabel actually is?
I think he's a really good coach.
Do you think that he is?
I'm not telling you he's Bill in his prime 8 years ago.
Okay.
But I think he's
in the top half of NFL coaches?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. This is probably an exercise I should have planned for, but it just occurred to me. I look at
Vrabel and he's like, he made the playoffs 3 straight years. He knocked out the Patriots that year. He won a coach of the year in 2021. His offense in 2020, 4th in points per game, 2nd in rush yards per game. The drop back EPA with Ryan Tannehill, which I know is a little analytic-y, but that was 6th in the NFL. Like they were, I know they had Derrick Henry, but even in the 1 year that Derrick Henry got hurt in 2021, they went 6-3 without him. So to me, that's a good coach. Like that, those Tennessee teams had talent. They had A.J. Brown. They had Derrick Henry. They had Jeffrey Simmons. But they weren't loaded with talent. They had a few really great players. I don't think they were loaded with talent. And they were in the playoffs. They beat the Patriots and the Ravens on the road in back-to-back games in the 2019 playoffs. That's a good coach.
I was listening to Albert Breer on Ryan Russillo's podcast yesterday, and he was talking about how much the Patriots have executed kind of a carbon copy offseason of what the Commanders did the year before and bringing in this kind of mid-level talent, a lot of veterans who had connections with the coach, and even bringing in a defensive-minded coach, which a couple years ago, and for some people, like the guy who usually sits in your seat on Saturdays, Chris Scheim, like was not desirable. Defensive coaches were definitely not the sexy pick in the NFL over the last couple of years. It's been all about the Mike McDaniel, who might be on the hot seat very early this season. It's been about the Ben Johnson, who's now with the Bears, like the guy who can bring his own offensive mastermind, nerdy approach has definitely been the sexy pick for a lot of franchises. But I think it's kind of smart of the Patriots to look at what the Commanders did last season. I'm not just saying this because I'm a Commanders fan.
No, I think you make it a good
point.
But
saying we're not trying to completely mix sports metaphors, hit like 3 home runs this season right off the bat. We're trying to get ourselves back to a place of having a roster that's stable, experienced, functional, and then bring the talent up quickly through the draft and these young guys and maybe add here or there through free agency or trades when it is actually makes sense, like for a Steph Diggs.
They hired arguably the best head coach on the market. I mean, my number one choice at the time was Brian Flores. My number two was Vrabel. I mean, this guy's, he's been to an AFC championship game, as I mentioned before, been a playoff head coach, been a coach of the year. Like you mentioned Dan Quinn in Washington. I think that's a good comparison because everybody remembers Dan Quinn for Super Bowl 51 in 28-3. And that's a black mark on his record. But he was still in the Super Bowl. Like he still coached a team to a Super Bowl. And then after that crushing defeat, got that same team back to the playoffs the next year. Like, that was a really good coaching job that next year, right? That individual game, Super Bowl 51, was a disaster in the second half. And, again, black mark on his record. But you zoom out, dude was in the Super Bowl 1 year, got to the playoffs the next year. And you look at Vrabel. He got fired by the Titans in 2023. There was the power struggle, all that. Came to Foxborough and lavished praise on Kraft.
But
which
the
I know
Titans
like.
Have been such a dumpster fire been, since then that it the only makes Vrabel look better.
They've been one of the few teams as bad as the Patriots the last couple years. So we're like, really, it's been them,
what
the
an
Patriots,
honor.
I know, what an honor. Like, they've been one of the few teams. And again, this is a guy that when he had a good offensive coordinator on Arthur Smith, they got a average quarterback to the AFC championship game and really good. Now I think he has a really good offensive coordinator, and I think Drake May is better than Ryan Tannehill.
You wanted Flores to be the coach here?
How I'm a did big I Brian Flores
can
supporter.
We like back up here? How did yeah. I not know this in the moment?
Yeah.
We must have not been
I
doing
actually
very
wrote an
many
article
shows.
For it about the site for the EEI site about it. Yeah, and Vrabel again, Vrabel was my second choice. It wasn't like it was a big gap.
Why did you think Flores would be a good fit here, other than his obvious history with the franchise?
So, first of all, I thought he was the best defensive coach on the market, which their Patriots defense took a big step back last year. So he would have needed a good OC. I thought he did a really good job in Miami and was unfairly fired. And everywhere he's gone,
Tua hated him.
Yeah, but Tua, I think we're finding out Flores might have been on to some. Tua's numbers have been better with Mike McDaniel, but he hasn't been that guy that's going to lead a team to deep playoff
I
runs.
Hear you. I'm not a Tua fan, but when you're hiring a head coach and you've picked your quarterback very high in the draft,
sure.
You got to find somebody who's going to work with that quarterback.
And
like,
I get
unless
that.
Unless you've totally given up on the quarterback and they weren't at a point where they were going to do that. Certainly not at a point. Do you think? I think Drake probably would have had a better relationship with Flores than Tua did. Because
yeah.
Drake is a different personality
I think
from what we've seen
learned
so far.
A little bit from the, and, but my vision,
but I don't
Mego,
know if I'd want
was,
Flores with Drake.
My vision was Flores and McDaniels as OC. So they got the OC I
you
wanted,
got
but
close.
That was kind of my vision. And again, but okay, I like Flores. Vrabel was you can make the case the best head coaching candidate on the market, top two at worst. So it wasn't like a year ago where it was like Jim Harbaugh and Bill Belichick were free agents. And it was Vrabel was arguably the best guy available. And I think that's their best ad.
I think one thing with Vrabel that because aside from coaching that has been so valuable that we've seen through this offseason, just to put a bow on it, has been that he has the network where he can bring guys in, whether it's guys that he's working with and hires or whether it's players like Harold Landry who have played with him, who he's going to be able to bring along and sign here immediately because they want to play with him again. They understand what their role is going to be in his type of defense, and they trust that this is going to be a good place to be because of him. You didn't have any of that with Jerod Mayo because he was so unproven, he was so inexperienced, and he was in, like, it's ironic that he talks so much about wanting to knock down silos when he was in that position here, because he was in such a silo here from the rest of the league, not having candidates for different roles, not having people that he could go to and say, I'm putting this thing together. Do you want a part of it?
And I think, too, with Vrabel, and you can say McDaniels and Terrell Williams, Springer, put them all together, there's a real plan going forward here now. Whereas last year, it felt like Jerod Mayo and by extension, Elliot Wolf's plan, if there was one, was just to do the opposite of everything Bill Belichick did, which in some cases was a good thing.
When was
right?
it a good thing?
Bill,
just drafting Drake?
I think Bill wouldn't have drafted Drake.
Okay.
I think he would have traded
Other
down
than that,
and taken
when
McCarthy.
Was it a good thing?
But that's the thing, and I said this at the time. There was a lot of, hey, we're going to do the opposite of stuff that helped us go to 9 Super Bowls, right? So that was their only plan. Now it's like you can see Vrabel comes in and he's like, we're going to be better at situational football. We're going to be better on defense. We're going to attack more up front offensively. We're going to run the ball, but we're going to get the ball in space with guys like Kyle Williams and Travion Henderson. We'll see if it works, but it feels like much more so than the Mayo era, there's a real plan of how they want to operate on offense and defense.
617-779-7937 is the number if you want to join in on the text line or if you want to call in how you're feeling about the Patriots offseason so far. Your expectations for Mike Vrabel. When we get to our next conversation, it's going to be about these position group rankings that are coming out ahead of all the training camps kicking off. And even just some of the individual player rankings, the NFL Top 100 continues to roll out. Patriots aren't getting a lot of great grades here. And look, they don't deserve
Shocker, based on
the last couple years, but we're going to discuss whether this is fair or unfair, what our expectations from these different position groups are. We'll hit that right after.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Trending with Jacob. I think Jacob's in kind of a party mood this morning. Is it because you were at Fenway last night?
Yeah, that is why.
So you're not a Red Sox fan. Be honest. You're a New York guy.
I'm a Mets fan, but I have fallen in love with this Red Sox team, and I would die for the Boston Red Sox this season.
What?
Got one of those July 4th hats on, too.
Yeah,
those
I'm not
good.
Yeah.
Did you see Jen and Ben at the park last night, Jacob?
I didn't, but I did get a glimpse at the Dropkick Murphys. They were in the press box last night, which was awesome.
That's cool. I didn't know they were
flex there. Jacob, good for you.
Were they in the press box or the booth?
They were in the press box. I think they did a tour. I think they did the Nesson booth and they did the I don't know if they did the WEI booth, but I definitely saw them. And they threw out the first pitch as well.
So Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner were at the game last night.
So they're like back together. Weren't they like apart, together, apart? J-Lo was mixed in as well.
He loves Jennifer's.
That's true.
Ben Affleck, again.
We doesn't have to worry about not remembering a girl's name. They're all just named Jennifer.
I was trying to look at pictures last night and it didn't look like their kids were there. So they were married and they have children who I think are like at least in their late teens at this point. They're almost adults if they're not adults.
Okay.
So I wondered, maybe they just maintain this friendship. he was just married to J-Lo and then split up last year. So.
Was that his second time being married to J-Lo? Right?
No, or, he was. Unfortunately, I'm quite well versed in this. He was
because they made
engaged.
That awful movie, right? Giggly yes. or whatever? Like one of the worst movies.
Giggly.
Okay, yes.
So he was engaged to J-Lo and then they split up. They called off the engagement and then he married Jennifer Garner. They had a few children together and then he divorced Jennifer Garner. And then very recently married J-Lo. They got back together during COVID.
I remember that. Okay.
And then divorced a year later. Okay. And Jennifer Garner has been this constant presence in his life because she just honestly, it may be Hollywood fluff, but she seems like a really lovely person. Famously, at one point when he was at his very lowest, he was going to rehab. She was driving him to rehab and she made a stop along the way because he wanted hamburgers. So there's paparazzi shots of him in the car and her going through the drive-thru to get him hamburgers on the way to rehab. And I'm like, that's just a good woman. So if he's back with her.
She owns that farm that I always see on the Capital One commercials.
Yeah.
That's what I know about.
If he's back with her, it's probably a good thing for his life. Not saying J-Lo is a bad thing, but it was nice to see the hometown boy from Cambridge at the Red Sox game. It felt like it was 2003 again a little bit.
Hopefully Tom Brady shows up with Sofia Vergara next.
That would be interesting. I think it's kind of tough to get Tom to New England these days because...
Except for the statue.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There was the... Kraft went on Julian Edelman's podcast earlier this week, and I saw a bunch of articles that were aggregated off the different sound bites that Kraft
gave. Did you see Missoula on Games with Names, by the way?
I did.
Yeah, I think Edelman, side note, of all the former Patriots in the media, he might be the best. That's a great podcast. Like every time he has people on, like I always, it's great.
I kind of wish that he would just lose the concept of the game part because okay. I don't care, frankly, about a lot of the games that they talk about. Like I don't need them to revisit the exact moments of those games. Not that I don't care about the games. I never care about that conversation as much as the other conversations in the podcast. Like we never talk about the insight that they give from the actual games that they revisit. We talk about the other stuff that they talk about, like Joe Mazzulla saying that he has a Joker tattoo.
Yeah, or that they have to win another one. When Mazzulla said that, I was like, oh, I like that.
Yeah, quote. That's what I mean. And so with the Kraft podcast, when he was on Julian Edelman's podcast earlier this week, he was talking about how they basically had the statue ready to go last year, and they couldn't get Brady up here because of his broadcasting stuff, but I'm like, I don't really buy that. I think that it probably.
I'd have to think. Did he broadcast any Patriots games last year? I don't think he did.
Well, maybe. No, I'm saying, but I think he just didn't want to come here.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't think he was here for broadcasting, so he wasn't going to come up. Besides that,
I think he just felt like he had better stuff to do.
Well, and he did that June 12th.
He
night,
did the freaking Brady
which
night,
which was
like,
great.
He
by
didn't
the
need
way,
to come back up here again.
That was an awesome night.
It was so boring.
I loved it. Oh,
oh my
on.
God. I was so...
I loved it.
I went, and Arkan and I went, and
of course,
I brought
it was
my,
also game three of the NBA Finals that night.
That's... Okay, so I brought one of my good friends from college, and we were excited mostly because Jay-Z was opening, and that was great. And I would say, like, the first hour 15 of it was good. It was like, oh, cool. Randy Moss is here. Randy Moss
cool.
is crying on stage.
Moment.
Like, this is very moving. This
the
is
Peyton
cool.
The Peyton Manning part was cool, too.
It didn't need to go on that long. And they had so many video segments. I was like, I feel like I'm at a graduation. This is so boring.
So
we got up and left to go watch the Celtics game.
Yeah. I loved it. And I actually went to a bar right up the road, like in Patriot Place, to watch the Celtics after it. And I thought that was a great night. But point being, they had that night. And I kind of felt after that night like this might be it for Brady being around, because that was obviously a whole night for Brady. And don't forget, to me, the signature moment of that night was Brady's speech. But right after that was when Bill Belichick came out and got the long standing ovation.
Yeah,
right
was,
after
I
he
was
had been
gone
fired.
By then.
So that was an amazing moment. But I thought to myself, like, OK, Brady and Bill are here. This is probably the last time they'll both be here together. Bill probably will never come back. And Brady, I was like, he'll come back to broadcast. He's part owner of the Raiders. It had a sense of finality kind of that night. So I'm not surprised that Brady didn't come back for last season for the statue.
That also suffered from happening after the roast. And we had already gotten the reunion between Brady and Belichick at the Tom Brady roast. And that was such an event. And that was so entertaining. And then this one just felt like a kind
See,
of a
I didn't
big
care
formality.
As much about the roast. I'm the reverse. I love the Brady night. The roast, I was like, ah.
In person, the Brady night, the pageantry and the event of it was nice. Just the actual program
I wish they
was
had started
pretty boring.
It an hour earlier, though, because it's like Celtics are in the NBA Finals.
That yeah, day. That like, was that was tough.
And they couldn't have planned that ahead of time because they booked it like 9 months in advance. But yeah,
but I the. That they had the statue last year and they couldn't get him up here, and now they can only get him up here for a preseason game against the Commanders to unveil it ahead of that. It just shows you the Patriots are down a little more bad than they'd like
well,
you
also,
to
too,
assume.
Well, also, too, and this is a separate conversation, but Brady always wanted to be part owner of an NFL team. Like, the Patriots could have worked with him and done that, and instead now he's part owner of the Raiders.
You think Kraft would have done that?
I think he said he's his fifth son. Like, if
he
you know
said
what I
that
mean?
About Mac Jones too, he says that about but everybody.
But I feel like with Brady, he's kind of meant it. And the guy when you say, and if the guy wanted to be a 5% owner, you could have worked that out. Like, you know, instead now he's part owner of the Raiders and he's a broadcaster, so you're just naturally not going to see him as much around.
Well, CNBC just had the most valuable sports empires come out, and Kraft Group was number 8 on the list, and it was worldwide.
Yeah, that's
so
pretty impressive.
Not just nationally.
Yeah, because I assume the Cowboys would be ahead of them in North America.
The Cowboys were number 2. It wasn't just North America.
Right,
it was
but
worldwide.
I'm saying of the North America, like Cowboys, and then probably be European soccer teams.
Number 1 was the group that owns the Rams. And all these groups that yeah. have a ton of valuation,
but
like
don't
really
they
high
own,
valuations.
Like the Denver Nuggets too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they own a bunch of teams, and then they also own, you know, one of these Premier League teams, because yeah. I guess those generate a ton of money. So it's a smart investment.
As we know from Liverpool and our friend John Henry.
As long as it's not taken away from what you're doing stateside. But stateside, what the Patriots are doing, are getting further bad grades. Their offseason got just a C+ from Seth Walder of ESPN. PFF put out this ranking of the offensive line position groups. And the Patriots were 29th, which is very tough because of all the work that they did this offseason to try to get their offensive line to a place where it was at least somewhat respectable. And they're still, in their eyes, a bottom 3 team. Do you think that in that position group, do you think that that is too harsh, or do you think that that is just the reality of that position group?
So similar to that overall offseason grade, I think it comes down to how you feel about Will Campbell, because I think it's a little bit too harsh, but I think Will Campbell's going to be a good left tackle. But if you don't think Will Campbell's going to be a good left tackle, then 29th makes it. And look, last year they were 32. They were awful on the offensive line. So they're better than last year. But I think, look, Morgan Moses, he's played over 1,000 snaps 5 times in his career, but he's 34 now. Garrett Bradbury is a below average center who the Vikings are very happy to let go. Mike Onwenu has been a very good player, but there's whispers, reports, especially we talked to our friend Fitzy, he's quite out of shape, and he's been out of shape in the spring.
Oh, no, that's been me saying
and
that.
Okay, because Fitzy also said it to me on a 6 Rings. That's why.
Really out of shape.
And last year I thought Onwenu was kind of inconsistent, and if he's out of shape now, and then at left guard, you don't know who your left guard. I mean, it could be Cole Strange, it could be Layden Robinson, and who knows, it could be even Caden Wallace, I don't know, but You do have a lot of question marks here. Like, I think your offensive line is better than last year because I think Morgan Moses brings stability at right tackle at a minimum. I think Jared Wilson is going to develop as a pretty good center behind Garrett Bradbury, and I think Will Campbell will be a good left tackle. But you still have real questions there. So I think it's a little low for me, but, like, I'm sitting here, like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, they're 24th or 5th. Like
24th or
5th. That's so, kind of where I'm. So not good. But.
Here's what PFF wrote. They said, right tackle Morgan Moses, who turned 34 in March and missed time due to an injury last season, ironically that he sustained against the Patriots, joined on a 3-year deal after ranking just 52nd among offensive tackles in PFF overall grades in 2024. New England also signed center Garrett Bradbury, whose 50.5 PFF pass blocking grade placed him 35th. Among 39 qualifying centers, first-round left tackle Will Campbell is promising, but it is unlikely a rookie can elevate this unit to even an average level in 2025. So what they're telling you there is, yeah, they signed a bunch of guys in free agency and they added a guy in the draft with a very high pick, but they're not even going to be average level. They're not even going to be 25th. They're not even going to be 23rd, as you said, let alone 15th or 16th in this. And I just got to say, like, I think this puts so much pressure on Drake May to continue being the runner that he was last year. And I know people want to see that. I know that there are people out there who want to see Drake take off and have 800 rushing yards this season, and that that would solve a lot of problems for the offense, including maybe not having a wide receiver who's a 1,000-yard wide receiver, because you haven't had one in the last five seasons. I don't know if you have one on the roster. I really don't think so this season. And so Drake is making up for some of that with his legs. But I think the downside of that is you got Drake sustaining concussions last year and head injuries last year and missing real game time after he was made the starting quarterback last year. I don't want to see the Pastrnak coming in and playing competitive minutes in these games when you're supposed to be a team that's between 7 and 9 wins in my book. Like, that is a real danger for Drake May.
So I agree that it puts a little more pressure on Drake May. I think it puts even more pressure on Josh McDaniels. And as I've said, I've been on record. I'm a big believer in him. I think he's one of the best offensive coordinators in football. But you have real question marks at offensive line. You have question marks at tight end beyond Hunter Henry, what your depth is going to be. You have some question marks at receiver. You even running back. And I like Travion Henderson. Guy's still a rookie, right? You have question marks there. You're one of the best OCs in the league. You have to scheme around some of this stuff. So, yeah, I mean, and I always think it's that old adage, right? Better does not equate to being good or great.
No, because they were disgusting last year. So they were so bad.
The Patriots had the worst offensive line in the league last year. It's better, but if it's 24th, like I'm saying, that's still not good. It's not even average, right? Their receiving core, them in Carolina, you can flip a coin, worst in the NFL last year. They're better, but are they 20th? You know what I mean? 21st? Like, that's still not even up to average. So, like, they'll be better, no doubt about it, but that doesn't automatically equate to, like, oh, they're going to be good. Like, they have a lot to prove here. Like, I think Will Campbell can be a good left tackle, but he's got to prove that. Travion Henderson has to prove that. Stephon Diggs has some stuff to prove coming off an injury and a pink boat party, right? Like, he has things to prove that. Even Drake May, who I'm high on, I'm sure you're high on, a lot of us are. Does he have a good second year? Because last year I thought he performed pretty well in the face of bad coaching and bad players around him, but still had, what, 10 picks and some key turnovers? Like, can he be better too?
Sometimes I scoff at PFF because they do all their grading based on their own grades, which is their own criteria. Yeah,
and they don't know what the assignment is.
Yeah, like, lack some context. I know coaches seem to kind of hate it anytime that you bring it up to them.
I actually almost became a grader for them. And
really?
I went through their whole, it was before I got hired here. I
was Can you do in, both?
I could, but it just the time consuming.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but I went through their whole grading system and there is a lot of logic behind it. And I think it makes more sense than maybe some people give it credit for, but it still misses that piece of, like, if a safety's supposed to be running cover two and you don't know that and you grade him for something, well, maybe he was doing what he was supposed to do and you're just not exactly sure. And that's not all the graders' fault because they don't know the assignments, but I think sometimes, you know, like if a running back gets caught up in the offensive line instead of running, you know, a ball curl right in front, then that they're going to say, oh, the quarterback, you know, didn't have his check. Well, the guy didn't get that. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So
yeah.
There's sometimes those little pieces of context.
That to me, that's kind of using stats overall. Like, it's good to use numbers and stats to describe and add to what you're seeing on the field, but you have to understand what you're seeing on the field.
Sure.
And that's for anything. Sharp Football Analysis also ranked the offensive lines, and they had the Patriots a little bit higher. They had them at 27 ahead of the Dolphins, Giants, Seahawks, Bengals, and Texans. So that's a pretty dreadful group of offensive lines.
We're talking about like a Texans team that willingly traded Laramie Tunsil. Right?
That was the craziest trade that happened in free agency. How are the Bengals still operating this way?
And they've let Jonah Williams go too a couple years ago, like another nice piece. I don't understand it with the Bengals in that you have a quarterback.
I understand they have the receivers and like good for them for hanging on for Joe, and Joe was very vocal about that. I say that like Joe Burrow and I are friends
I'm sure you are. Yeah, of course.
But like,
but they
he gets
Jesse
injured every year.
Yeah.
You need to protect him.
Yeah, and I think that's a team too. You could make a case like Joe Burrow might be the best quarterback in the NFL. Like if they had made the playoffs, he probably would have won the MVP last year the way he played down the stretch. And I know like Mahomes is a top five QB of all time. Allen and Jackson are MVP candidates. Burrow was right there in that conversation with those guys year in and year out, and yet they still can't protect him. Remember that Super Bowl against the Rams? What was he sacked 8 times in the second half alone or something crazy like that? Like, and he still almost won that game?
Yeah, he's like a pocket passer.
Yeah.
Like, that is insane that your offensive line is in that state. Wally wants to talk about our earlier Red Sox conversation. Wally, what's going on?
Yeah, what's up, guys? I mean, you're looking at Red Sox. I followed every game this year. Greg Breslow can't be pokey at the deadline. There's a lot of teams that are still in the hunt for the wild card, and the Red Sox seem to have turned it around. We have to give them a lot of credit. But they got to play good after the break. They can't go 2-7 like they did last year. But it's three pitches that intrigue me. You've got Joe Ryan, a proven commodity. You've got Dylan Cesar Mendel, and you got Sandy Alan Cantara. Who do you go after? I mean, I think the cheapest one is Alcantara, but you're going to have to give up Duran if you want to get Joe Ryan. The same way with first base. They got to fix that, too. Do you go after Josh Naylor or do you go after Olsen from Atlanta? But I'd love to see Breslow beat everybody to the punch, get that final piece, and, you know, I think we'll be all set for the rest of the season. But this next 2 weeks is an important stretch, too. But you're going to have to get reinforcements. You've got a glut of outfield that somebody's got to go.
Thank you, Wally. So a lot there.
The pitching conversation is an interesting one because I think Alcantara would be cheaper. I don't know if you'd have to give up Duran for him, but he had the Tommy John surgery a couple of years ago. Like, I'm a little concerned. And he mentioned Atlanta, 11 games under 500. Do you maybe see, hey, do you want Jaron Duran for Spencer Strider or Spencer Spellenbach, who I just pronounced wrong? But do you want Duran for...
You said it confidently, and that's all that matters.
Right. Do you want to... So out of those guys he asked, like, Cease would be my top choice. But I wonder if one of those Atlanta pitchers you could pry away as well.
There's a lot being made about how tough the Red Sox schedule is when they come back from the All-Star break.
It is.
And it is tough. At the same time, I'd say that's baseball.
You know, they have the toughest remaining strength of schedule for the... It's a 19 winning percentage their opponents have the rest of this year. So it is tough. It is.
And Tampa's kind of in the same position. I mean, Tampa came into this series, I think, 7 games above 500. And a lot of that was a very kind schedule that they had to start off the season. And a lot of time playing at home, which people thought might be a hindrance because they're in that weirdo stadium after the storm. But it seems like it's worked out for them. On the other side of this quick break, we are going to talk about our expectations for Drake May. Shime's not here. It's his birthday. In his honor, we have to have some Drake May talk. And, well, he wants Drake May to essentially be Mac Jones from his rookie season. And we're going to say, we're going to discuss whether that is enough for a successful season from Drake May.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Right after this.
I like teasing Shine, John Lyons, because he is so infatuated with Drake May that he gets to a point when we're talking about comparisons, like, is he Josh Allen? Is he going to be John Elway? I got him a couple weeks ago to say that he was going to be Aaron Rodgers in terms of production on the field at his peak.
Hopefully a little more normal off the field.
Yeah, we're talking on the field. We're definitely not
Aaron
talking
Rodgers,
off the
though,
field.
Side note.
We don't want to talk any Aaron Rodgers off the field.
Massively overrated career anyway. Really good player. And some of it was not, it's not his fault that his teammate couldn't catch an onside kick in Seattle in the 2014 NFC Championship game. But similar to Brett Favre, Mego, his team's always found a way to lose the big game.
Yeah.
So again, terrific player.
Maybe it's a Packers thing.
Probably. And I'd say the same thing about Favre, top 15 quarterback all time. But I think people sometimes talk about those two guys like they're on the level of Brady or Peyton Manning or Mahomes or Elway, and they're not on those guys' level. They're the next tier down.
I think I would mostly agree with that. But
like that 2020 NFC Championship game, Brady threw three interceptions at Lambeau, and Rodgers still lost that game.
Yes.
Like, come on. Like, you know what I mean? The 2011 divisional game against the Giants. I go down this rabbit
hole. I'm certainly not a Rodgers fan. Yeah. I'm not. I don't want to dive too deep into Rodgers. I just like playing this game with Shine because he will go further and further and further and be like, Drake's actually going to be this. Drake's actually that. I told him by the time that we get to the season, he's going to be comparing Drake to Mahomes. And that's where we're going to go because
Holmes Sneaky had a down year last year.
So
May will be better.
Excited about Drake May. But his standard for Drake May for his second year, he said, is 3,800 passing yards. I don't remember the exact rushing yards he had, but 20 touchdowns. And I said, that's basically the Mac Jones rookie season.
Mac had 22 touchdowns and 13 picks his rookie year.
Yeah, and 3,801 passing yards. Now, if we look at Josh Allen, we talked about this a little bit. I was on Early Edition last night on NBC Sports Boston. We were talking about, would you be happy enough if Drake May had Josh Allen's second season? So his second season back in 2019, he had just under 3,100 passing yards. He had 20 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. So an okay touchdown to interception.
Didn't he have like 9 rushing touchdowns that year too or something like that, Josh Allen's second year? I think he had 8 or 9.
Let me scroll down and I will effort to see. Yeah. The team was 10-6 though.
Yeah. And they almost won the division. That was came down to the end of the season. The Patriots had to beat them. It was Tom Brady's last win as Patriots starting quarterback, beat the Bills to win the division. So the Bills are right there in the division, made the playoffs. They almost won the AFC East that year.
Yeah, Josh Allen had 9 rushing yards in 2019 and 9 rushing touchdowns and 510 rushing yards. Would you be happy with that level of a season from Drake May? Not even talking about quarterback, like our wins, a quarterback stat, the team going 10-6, but those numbers kind of in a vacuum. Would that represent enough of Drake for the team?
I would want a little bit more than that. And I would want 30 or more total touchdowns.
30 like, or more total.
Passing and rushing, 30 or more total. And my biggest thing with Drake May, and you and I have talked about this before, and I know I sound like a broken record, he's got to limit the turnovers. Like, that is the biggest thing. And you look at the turnovers last year, too. It wasn't just that he had 6 lost fumbles and 10 picks, which is not good. It was he had an interception in the end zone against the Bills. He had an interception to end the game against the Rams when they had the ball with a chance to win. Same thing in overtime against the Titans. Like, it was key turnovers in key spots. You never want to turn the ball over, but he had interceptions in key spots. And some of that was he's a rookie, and it's understandable. Some of that was he was probably trying to do too much because he didn't have a good offense around him. And some of it was he's got a little bit of that I'm going to go overboard style, right? We just mentioned Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. He's got a little bit of that in him. And I think you want to avoid that, right? You have McDaniels now. You have, again, not a good offensive line, but a better one. You have better pass catchers around you. You don't need to try to go overboard as much this year. And so to me, that's the biggest thing. Like, if we're sitting here at the end of the year, Mego, and I'm like, Drake May played 17 games and he threw 10 picks, but it was 10 picks over 17 games instead of 13 games last year, and he didn't throw one on the final drive of a game, I'm going to feel really good about Drake May.
I've heard a couple people say that they think the most important stat to look at for Drake this season is the interceptions number. Can he cut that down, and can he play within McDaniel's expectations and protect the football?
Like, a couple of those interceptions last year, and sorry to cut you off, but I think a couple of them, like, one of them was against the Colts where it hit off Hunter Henry's hands. Another one was against the Cardinals where Kayshon Booty basically lateraled it to the defender. But then there were other ones.
Turnovers that are truly his fault.
Right. Exactly. There were other ones that were problematic.
I don't care about that as much, I've decided.
Don't
I really
care about turnovers
don't, because if you look at Josh Allen, I understand, like, the Bible here in New England is you have to not lose the game before you can win the game. And that's the way that Bill coached, and that's the way it's been preached, and it's been incredibly successful for long stretches of time with the greatest quarterback of all time. But if you look at Josh Allen and some of his breakout seasons, if you look at him in 2022, for example, he takes the team to a 13-3 season that year. He has 35 touchdowns and he has 14 interceptions. Like, 14 interceptions is high. And I think that people would be frustrated to see Drake have 14 interceptions. But if he has 35 touchdowns, it doesn't matter as much because he's the human eraser. And I'm not saying that I want him to be like crazy and trying everything and turning the ball over every single game or every single half. I'm not saying that, but at the same time, I want him to be able to play the exciting brand of football that he's capable of, and being uncorked and being unleashed and being able to do things that we haven't seen quarterbacks do in terms of natural athletic talent here.
And I think that's where, when you look at the great quarterbacks around the league, like you mentioned not losing games first, like I think Mahomes is a great example of that. Like, we talk about all these crazy plays Mahomes makes and the no-look passes, all that. He does a good job of avoiding stupid mistakes a lot, and that's a big part of their success. And he does crazy things, but he also usually does it within the structure of the offense the Chiefs have. Like, if May can be that style, where he'll do some crazy things that are great, but within the structure of the Patriots offense, I think then that you'll feel really good about him at the end of the year. It's just, I don't want him to go overboard and feel like, I have to win this game, my team's not good enough. Because I think there were times last year where he did feel that way.
But the team was so bad.
Right. I don't think he needs to feel that way this year. And I think that's the biggest thing for Mike Vrabel, really, is to communicate to Drake May, like, yes, you are the starting quarterback, but you are not the only guy out there, and we have to play within this structure. And you can do some crazy things within this structure, but we still have to play within this structure first.
Absolutely. All right, well, that's a little Patriots talk for you. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we're going to get into some NBA talk. Brad Stevens addressed the media. I was there earlier this week. Hugo Gonzalez made his summer league debut last night. Cooper Flagg also made his debut against Bronny James. We'll talk about all of that right after this very quick break.
FanDuel, because nothing says summer fun like adding...
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you.
No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.